This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, I want to talk about proudly South African. Let's get Nkosana and Tokozizi in here, and we talk to them about their businesses. Let me give you some background here. I don't know about you, but I've found all of these discussions that we've had about proudly South African in the past few weeks quite inspiring. We've met people who have stories to share about rewriting the narrative of what it means to be truly proudly South African. And this week is no different. We have Nkosana Mthimkhulu and Tokozizi Sibanda who are joining us. They're two voices that are adding to our conversations around Proudly South African's festive season campaign with the message of buying local. So, Nkosana is a passionate and committed guy with a progressive agricultural transformation agenda that will help to create jobs and alleviate poverty, sustain food security. Those all sound like very good goals to have. The year was 2010. He began dairy farming, milking 30 cows and supplying the neighboring communities with fresh farm milk. As the demand grew due to its popular fresh farm taste, he decided he was going to go national. Now, that's incredible. First of all, welcome. Nice to meet you.
Thank you,
Nkosana.
Good to be here.
Yeah, congratulations on your success so far. It sounds like you've had to do a lot of work to get to this point.
Yeah, it's been hectic. It's been really challenging.
Farming is hard, right?
Yes, farming, primary agriculture is difficult, and dairy farming is probably one of the most intensive sectors in agriculture. I mean, you're working every day, you're milking these cows twice a day. There's no holidays for these cows. They need to be milked, otherwise they'll get sick or they die. So you need to have your systems in order, because when I started, I made a lot of mistakes. I mean, I would work every single day and I would give my employees their day offs and leave, but I wouldn't take leave, so I would burn out.
Sure,
so then
I'm sure.
Eventually I got into a system of learning that I too need to take a break, and you know, when I'm gone, someone must do the work.
So tell me about Southwestern Dairy. It's 100% black owned dairy business. It's a father and son duo, so it's Stephen and Nkosana who we've got in the studio now.
Yep.
You guys have drawn on the experience of age on the one hand and then energy and enthusiasm on the other.
I'm the energy, yep.
Yeah, as long as you don't burn out. In 2014, the company expanded its milking operation to secondary milk processing. There's now fresh farm milk from South African dairy farmers. You add value to the milk by producing products like pasteurized fresh milk, mm-hmm. Amazi, yogurt, drinking yogurt, dairy blends. I mean, that kind of thing is really a... It's experience, it's hard work, it's all of that stuff, but it's also you've got to love what you're doing, right?
Yes, you do, and I'm not going to lie. I don't come from a background of agriculture, and I'm not a tree-hugging, pet-loving, yada, 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 yada. So when I got into the dairy industry, I just went headfirst, and I learned as I went through, you know, magazines like Farmers Weekly, YouTube. True story. And, you know,
wow.
Some small courses I did. And eventually, remember I said you're milking these cows every day. So they know you. You know them. You learn their psychology. And then, I mean,
so
I
you,
fell in love with the... With,
you
with
know
the
all
primary.
Your cows?
Absolutely. They've got names.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No, you've done better than I did. The first time I saw where milk really came from, I stopped drinking it. I got
a
shock.
I still drink milk like a baby.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
I drink milk like a baby.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Tokozizi, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too, Colin.
And you have a business called African Applied Chemical. So right. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, basically it's a business that I started whilst I was doing research in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So basically we were trying to, you see, if you apply an insect repellent on your skin, it lasts for a very short time. Then you have to reapply it again. So we're looking at ways in which we can extend the effectiveness of that repellent, okay? Because if you keep on reapplying, it gets more and more expensive.
Sure.
Especially for people, you know,
and
malaria.
And also people forget and all
they
that.
They forget and all that. And also it affects people who don't have a lot of money,
sure.
to keep on applying. So,
and we know that malaria still kills more people in Africa than anything else.
It's the highest killer, I think, in the world of people. So basically, we came up with what we call a slow-release technology, where we infuse the liquid in a fiber,
mm-hmm.
and then we co-knit that fiber with cotton wool, just mm-hmm. to get a nice fabric feel,
mm-hmm.
and we make textile products that are aimed at protecting vulnerable areas from malaria-carrying mosquitoes.
So you, I mean, this is what you did your PhD in, right?
Yes.
You had the opportunity to travel to all kinds of European countries. You say in Germany.
Yes.
You had your thinking kind of fundamentally changed from being a job seeker to being an entrepreneur, and you came back with a different attitude to how you wanted to get going.
I think going overseas, you learn a lot of things of how other people are doing things. And
yeah.
If you look at Europeans, they have a lot of small businesses that occupy niche technology sectors.
Hmm.
So I was quite inspired, you know, coming back to South Africa. We don't have a lot of that, and there's space for me to go in there. And driving technology and getting it into the market was a personal ambition of mine. So it's something that I took upon myself to say, look, this is the path that I'm going to follow.
It's very specific, but it's also something that there's a huge need for. So
definitely,
when you combine those two things, then you end up with a product that people really want.
Yep.
And you guys patented this technology, right?
Yes.
So what can be made out of these fabrics?
Okay, so basically the problem statement when you do academic research, you know, you have to have what you call a problem statement. Mosquitoes that carry malaria will bite you on the ankles 93% of the time.
It's so annoying.
When you're outdoors. Okay, so when you're indoors, you can spray your walls, sleep under a net. But when you're outdoors, they just go for your ankles.
Why?
And scientists are trying to understand why. Some are saying foot odor. You know, everyone has foot odor at certain
foot
levels.
Foot odor. All right.
But also because I'm sure there's a lot of blood kind of pools down there. They always get me on the veins on my ankles.
Well, there are odor cues that we release that attract mosquitoes. Some people are more attractive to mosquitoes than others.
Yeah.
So no one really understands what's the combination of the odor cues. But the odor cues coming from the ankle and foot area are the ones that malaria-carrying mosquitoes love.
Right.
So the products that you can make, really, we're making insect-repellent socks, ankle covers, and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. So give me an idea of how Proudly South Africans help both of your businesses. Kosana, you go ahead.
Well, I think for me, one of our objectives as a company is to get people to understand where their product comes from. And as consumers in South Africa, we need to fix the country. So when you buy milk, you should know that it comes from a South African dairy farmer.
Well,
and it's processed in South Africa.
Yeah, it must be scary if you getting milk from overseas and it's had to travel by ship or, I mean,
it doesn't
last forever.
And there's a lot of that on the shelves, you know.
Yeah.
So with that Proudly South African, you know, consumers will know that this is a South African brand made in South Africa, South African farmers, you know.
It's going to be nice and fresh. It's going to be good quality stuff.
Absolutely.
And it'll be sourced nearby.
Yeah, and you can even go there and have a tour of the farm or the processing facility.
Now, that's pretty brave of you to open up your farm for people to have a tour, because a lot of people are nervous about that. You know, someone's going to see that, you know, something isn't 100% right, or someone's going to say, oh, well, the cows aren't as happy as they could be.
Yeah, why isn't that cow smiling?
I mean, obviously, you know your animals are well looked after and your place is clean and everything else. So you're proud of it. To let people in there, that's a brave move.
Absolutely. I mean, hygiene is very important in the dairy industry. So we have the farm in the northwest and we have the processing facility in Pretoria. So in order for us to get the best quality milk, one, we need to take care of the animals.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, also where the animals live, their living conditions must be clean, and the condition of the cows, what you feed them. Because it's not the cows that give you the milk, it's the food that you feed them that gives you the milk.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you will get good quality milk. And even the condition of the milking parlor must be very clean. Because if you don't clean it properly, then you're going to have a problem the next day. And same thing with the processing facility. I mean, the Department of Health, especially in Pretoria, they don't play around.
Yeah,
so if you
send in inspectors and all kinds of things.
You have
right?
to be confident that your facility is up to standard. And we are 100% confident.
You know, I'm so annoyed that the Guptas didn't give you the Estina dairy, because you would have fixed that, man.
Can I tell you something? Back then, I sent them an email and I said, listen, me and my team will come fix this mess of yours for a fraction of the money that you've wasted on. And we'll actually do everything that you said it was supposed to do on paper.
And we would
but
have,
yeah, that's
we would have fed and given nutrition to so many more South Africans, and yeah. we would have had another profitable business rather than a failure.
Yeah, because I mean, the dairy industry for the past 10 years has been in serious trouble because all the small and medium sized guys have shut down, they've closed down. You know, the
is that just because it's so competitive?
Nope. The reason why I was forced into processing, so I had an offtake agreement with Clover, and I'm not afraid to say the name Clover. So one day they literally came and said, listen, we're shutting you down because we're focusing on for-profit business and income. So if you're not giving us X amount of liters on this route, we're going to shut you down. So thousands and thousands of dairy farmers, small to medium, have shut down. So now South Africa basically has a bunch of super mega dairies. Yeah. I mean, guys with 5,000 cows milking them two or three times a day, doing 50, 100,000 liters. So one of our goals and our purpose as Southwestern Dairy, we want to revitalize this dairy industry because it has the potential to create so many jobs. You know, it used to be a thriving sector within agriculture in South Africa. Yeah. I mean, if you've got medium and small scale farmers all across the countries, we will provide them with a platform to supply us with milk.
It's brilliant.
And then we'll take it to market. It because a farmer, a typical farmer, you know, especially in the white Afrikaans community, they just want to farm and do the farming and sell the produce.
They don't want to do the processing.
They don't want to do the processing. And it's a different industry in itself. So we're like, okay, you do what you love most, and we will take that milk, and we will send it to markets, and we will give you a fair price.
That's amazing. You know?
And we can negotiate prices because in South Africa, dairy farmers are price takers. They get bullied by the big guys. You know, so Clover actually did me a favor because now I'm left with these cows and I was able to get money because they gave me a contract. And I took that contract to the Department of Agriculture and they clapped their hands like, wow, you know, it's nice to see a young black farmer working with, absolutely. You know, white corporates. Let's fix this country, blah, 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 blah. Here's some money. Go buy some cows. Go renovate. And we did that. And then next thing Clover comes and they shut us down. So I was forced to sell to the communities. I was forced to interact with the Danish embassy and go to Denmark and learn how to process and get into the processing industry. And then,
so they did you a favor in the long run.
They
didn't want to, but they ended up doing you a favor.
Yeah, so well, that's very we'll impressive. Be a good competitor to them in the near future.
Damn right. How many cars at the moment?
We've got 40.
That's a lot of cows.
We're also buying from local farmers.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how about what Proudly South African has done to African Applied Chemical?
I mean, it's the badge that matters. I think there are quite a number of South Africans that are patriotic enough to buy high quality goods made in South Africa.
Sure.
We need quite a number of companies to come in and make goods in South Africa. And then, you know, that's how we create jobs. That's how we grow our economy. And also, I believe that, you know, as you mentioned, big businesses, the economy is characterized by very big businesses. You don't have small competitive businesses. Mm-hmm. So probably South African gives us that marketing mileage. And basically, I think it will be easier for us to market our goods to people, you know, to our intended market.
Wow. Well, congratulations to both of you on your incredible businesses. What do you think, though, is important for people to know about supporting local industry? Forget about your own businesses for a second. I mean, do you support other local businesses?
I always try to buy something made in South Africa. I mean, I always look at, unfortunately, a lot of goods are made in China. Mm. But my eyes just spring wide open when something is made in South Africa. And I buy it with pride. Sometimes it's a bit more expensive than the made in China, but the fact that I'm supporting a local industry, because it's a virtuous circle. If you support each other, then the economy goes up. So it's a very important thing for South Africans to first try to buy something made in South Africa before buying something that is made somewhere else.
You agree with that?
I absolutely agree. And also to understand that we do have a lot of quality in South Africa. Yes, there are chances and fly-by-nights, but there is quality in South Africa. And South African businesses will not, we cannot survive without South African people buying our products, you know. So, yeah, buy local. I don't mind sounding cheesy and saying local is lekker. So.
Well, you're a dairy farmer. You can't sound cheesy.
Nice one.
What do you think people should know about acting on this campaign? I mean, it's the holidays now. You know, there's probably a lot of people who will be traveling around the country reminding themselves of why they live in this amazing place. And they might even drive past your farm. And then they get to see that there are things happening in South Africa that we should be very proud of. How'd you like them to act upon that?
Well, that's I have to think a little bit on that. I mean, look, they say consumers are going to spend about 200 billion rands this festive season.
Okay? Wow.
That's a lot of money. And I think people should be conscious on what they spend their money on. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you spend your money on something that is made in South Africa, definitely you support a small business and you support jobs. So I think that's what people should be conscious about, you know.
Guys, well done. It's so lovely to hear about people who are making success, who are making strides, who are developing products, who are making the farming of the 21st century work and processing the stuff for people who just want to farm, and also creating new spaces in the market and providing products that are of quality. It's terrific. Yeah. Well done to both of you.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
It hasn't been easy, but
no,
it's
of course
definitely
not.
I mean, business is tough, but it's worthwhile.
Well, if it's easy, it's probably worthless. I mean, nothing comes from nothing, right?
I am going to use that. Thank you.
Thank you both so much, and congratulations. Proudly South African, of course, and they've got a great campaign on at the moment. If you'd like to know more, you can go to proudlysa.co.za, or you can visit their online store for only locally made products. Go to rsamade.co.za and catch up with these and other Proudly South African conversations by visiting cliffcentral.com for all of the podcasts, and we've really met some amazing people. If you ever feel like you need to be inspired and you're tired of hearing people who complain from morning till night about how bad things are and how difficult things are, oh, the economy, listen to these guys. These people are winners who are going ahead and making a difference and creating jobs and making the economy tick over. Those are the people we need to hear from more. Thank you both so much. What an absolute pleasure to have you here.
We're on Instagram and Facebook.
Go on. Give
Southwestern
us
Dairy.
Southwestern
Dairy.
Dairies.
Yep.
And are you on Instagram and Facebook?
Yes.
Tugazizi?
So, okay, I think visit our online store on www.nobuzz.com. That's our...
No Buzz.
That's our brand, yes. For
I love it.
For insect repellent textiles. Twitter, it's at African Applied. That's our Twitter handle.
Thank you so much, both of you.
This is CliffCentral.com.